The following episode may contain inappropriate material. Listener discretion is advised.
Hello, world. This is Trish Adora, your Pan-African World Diaspora Champion, and you are listening to John Orlando on the PVDcast.
Welcome, ladies and gentlemen, to another installment of the PVDcast. I am your humble host and your podcast purveyor, John Orlando, and welcome to episode number 368. I hope all is well with you, and thank you very much for checking out this episode of the PVDcast. My guests are two gentlemen behind a comic book called The Heel Screwjob, and those two gentlemen are Chris El Cisco and Milo Miller. Chris and Milo will describe The Heel Screwjob as a horror movie meets professional wrestling wrapped up in a comic book. And these two actually have two other partners that helped to make the book a reality. And we're going to talk all about this great concept that these guys have come up with. We're going to talk about their fandom of comics as well. Chris is going to discuss his fandom of professional wrestling. You're actually even going to hear, too, the mention of a previous guest on this podcast, Mr. Ted Sikora, who is, of course, the subject of episode number 161. He is a Cleveland-based comic book creator, probably most known for Tap Dance Killer and Apama. Both of those comics have had long runs and much success. So it's a great episode. I really hope you enjoy it. But before I do that, I'm going to thank my beloved sponsor, World's Greatest Comics. You hear me talk about how great the store is, and if you haven't stopped by and you're in Central Ohio, well, shame on you. The store is located at 5974 Westerville Road in Westerville, Ohio, and they got tons of everything that you need for your comic book fandom. I mean, single issues, graphic novels, collections, hundreds upon hundreds of back issues, toys, collectibles. You know, you owe it to yourself to stop by and see the store in person, but I do understand then you might be listening outside of Ohio. You could still check out the store. That's right. They're pretty active on their Facebook page. Just look for @WGComics. And they even have a pretty good website as well, WGComics.com. And I want to thank Jeff and all the fine folks down there at World's Greatest for being a great sponsor. I truly do appreciate it very, very much. All right, with that then, ladies and gentlemen, I'm going to throw it to a quick break. And on the other side of the break, you're going to hear my conversation with Chris and Milo from the comic book The Heel Screwjob. Ladies and gentlemen, this evening I'm being joined by two guys from the crew that brought you the comic The Heel Screwjob. I'm sitting down with Chris El Cisco and Milo Miller. How are you guys doing?
Doing good.
Good. How about you?
I'm doing well. Can't complain. So let's go ahead and just start off. Can the listeners get a little bit of a summary of what your comic is all about without giving too much away?
Yeah. Serial killer pro wrestler is in a nutshell. You want to elaborate?
Yeah. So my pitch at the shows is always dad wants his son to be a better wrestler than him. Only problem is that dad is the greatest wrestler of all time and his son can't wrestle for squat. So dad makes a deal with the devil to make his son better than him. And that's what kind of kicks everything off.
Where did you guys come up with the idea for this? I have to ask, because it sounds like an amalgamation of like horror movies and pro wrestling all mashed together.
Exactly. Yeah, that's exactly it. I think the idea kind of sprung from Chris talking to me about wrestling and comics when we started working together at Costco. I'd done a book about like 13 issues of Pama, the Undiscovered Animal. It's kind of a 70s Bronze Age kind of Marvel throwback. And Chris had met me at some shows where I was promoting that. I'm the co-writer of that book. And he'd been talking to me about maybe trying to do a wrestling book. I really wasn't into the wrestling stuff, but he was pretty persistent. And he started throwing out these ideas. And so I kind of saw an opportunity to combine a lot of the things that we were interested in, like horror movies, comic books, and then the wrestling angle. And then it just kind of took off from there.
Can we go back real quick? Milo, you were talking, what was that comic that you worked on?
Okay, so I've worked and kind of still work on Apama, the Undiscovered Animal with Ted Sikora.
That's why that sounded familiar. Okay.
Yeah,
okay.
So Ted and I, you know, years and years ago, shot an independent feature film around Cleveland, Hero Tomorrow, and we decided to start doing a comic to promote that film. And that was the first issue of Apama, the Undiscovered Animal. And then we worked on that for a number of years. You know, Ted is still, you know, kind of promoting that universe. I'm still involved, but he's doing more just kind of on his own with that kind of universe. I kind of wanted to, I like doing kind of different things. You know, I kind of feel like I did the 70s comic book thing. And now Chris, you know, has given me this opportunity to do kind of this, almost like this 90s kind of underground throwback, which is kind of how I see the heel. And, you know, then, you know, have other projects that we're working on together and separately as well. But yeah, so Apama is kind of the first comic book. And that's kind of where I met Chris, you know, at the shows, because Chris was coming out to the shows. I was at the shows with Ted. We were promoting the book. We used to do a lot of shows before COVID. When COVID hit, you know, things kind of, you know, I just haven't been doing a lot of shows since then. I just haven't gotten back into the rhythm of doing that.
Understandable. And I've actually had Ted on the show, and I've met Ted a couple of years ago. Well, I was saying more than a couple of years ago, probably about 4 or 5 years ago at a convention down here called Space.
Yep.
Yeah. And so and at that point he was, I guess, promoting Tap Dance Killer, which was his yep. newest book out at that time. So yeah, I knew that title sounded really familiar, and I was like, ah. So thanks for clarifying.
He's still
that.
Going strong with Punchline, Tap Dance Killer, Bloom. He's got a lot of stuff going on, and it's all really good. So I, you know, encourage anybody to kind of check that out. You know, Hero Tomorrow Comics. Just type it in, and it'll take you to the site.
I agree. I second that. Check out Ted's stuff. It's good stuff. Well, let's run down some of the characters in your tale. Chris, Milo, I don't know who would like to handle that, but let's talk a little bit about these characters.
So we have the King. The King is the ultimate wrestler in our universe. And then the King has a son named Junior. And Junior is a little bit off. He's a big, heavyset gentleman, not the brightest, and he ends up being the main character. So think like a Mike Awesome, if you're into wrestling. Mm-hmm. He's kind of stylized after him, but with an additional 300 pounds, no muscle, and no wrestling capability whatsoever. So there's Pringles. Pringles is his little pup that he has. He has like a little purse puppy. He has a manager, that's Shiloh. Shiloh's an older guy. He managed the King beforehand. So the King gives Shiloh the responsibility of trying to kind of mold Junior into a better wrestler. Those are your main characters. And then in issue 2, we introduce the female, which is Moggs, Magadore, and she plays a huge part as you go further. The devil is also in it, because they make a deal with the devil, and that's where Junior's kind of spree starts. Missing anybody? The goat. The goat is the ultimate bad guy, the ultimate heel, if you would. And throughout the series, they fight each other.
But you brought up Mike Awesome. I'm going to ask, what real life wrestlers did you kind of model some of the characters after?
The King is kind of like a Rick Rude type of deal.
Okay.
But bigger.
Okay.
Bigger, more muscular, bigger, taller. But he's got that, you know, type of personality. Mike Awesome was really the main influence for Junior. He's got the mullet, you know, just like Mike Awesome had. He's just a heavier set, you know, not as wrestling talented individual. Shiloh's kind of like a Burgess Meredith type of a manager. I think that's it. That's all we really kind of pulled from. I think everybody else is kind of just straight OG, original, you know.
Okay.
We had Jimmy Carroll does the art, and Jimmy Carroll is a graduate of Cleveland Institute of Art. So he brought a good spin on a lot of the stuff that we told him, you know, what we were looking for and what we were trying to do. And then Ilias is also a graduate of CIA. He does all the inking. So those two work as a phenomenal team. And as the issues go along, it just gets better and better and better.
I think Jimmy brings a real unique style from everything that I saw in my research. You know, it's not something that is, I don't know, it has like an edge to it, if you will, kind of a, like an R. Crumb type of edge to it, if I may, you know, make comparisons. So do you think that that's an accurate statement to make, is that he has quite an edgy style for the book?
Yeah, it took us, 6 months to find him? We did, we searched for the right artist for this book for 6 months. We posted, you know, flyers up around town, and, you know, it ended up getting to Jimmy through somebody we worked with that was a CIA student at our work. So he, by, you know, hey, these guys are doing a comic book. I don't know if you'd be interested or not. And by that time, Jimmy hadn't really done comics. He didn't really do very much panel work or anything from what we were aware of. He did a book, like a children's book, something like that beforehand. And he was still in school in 2019 when we all linked up. So it was just by chance that we, you know, we ended up finding him. But we had went through, you know, 15, 20 different submissions and hadn't found anybody yet. So we waited and we didn't push it. So it was the right fit. And I think bringing on Ilias, the inker, which was at that time his roommate, because they were both at CIA, it just fit. It just clicked.
I think that that's an interesting piece of advice, that, you know, wait for the perfect fit, because I think that some creators out there might panic. You know, 6 months is a long time, let's be honest. And I feel like maybe if anybody's listening to this episode that's going to start planning your own comic, that's maybe some good advice, is to find that person that's going to make it work.
Yeah. And we waited, you know, it was a long time too. And we got submission after submission, and, you know, there was a couple that were kind of on the fence about, and we didn't know. And then once we met Jimmy, and, you know, I took wrestling figures with me and said, look, this is, you know, Sid Vicious, this is Goldberg, you know, and they were really tall, you know, mutated wrestling figures. And I said, this is what we're looking for. And he did some character sketches, and then boom, it was on. We started running.
Yeah, I think stylistically, what I like about what Jimmy does in this particular book is he's got a real cartoony style that's kind of cute, but then there's a lot of really hardcore violence in the book. It's really over the top, you know. So there's this over the top violence that's kind of that outlaw extreme, but it's done in a real cartoony style. That I think there's a kind of contrast there that I think makes it really interesting and engaging. I mean, that's the thing I really thought that Jimmy brought to the project.
So why the name The Heel Screwjob, if I may ask?
So we wanted to do something with a bad guy, you know, vibe to it. So the original concept, it was called Shit List. that wasn't very marketable, you know, even for it being an indie comic. We wanted to be able to take it, you know, to conventions and sell it to, you know, 15 and up. Calling it Shit List, you know, especially even marketing on Facebook or Instagram or Twitter, it might not have went over well, or they would have just pulled it. So then The Heel came about, and there was already a couple titles with The Heel in it. So my, you know, one of my big wrestling moments is the Montreal Screwjob. So boom, there's Screwjob, the heel screw job.
So you have 4 issues so far. Do you have plans to continue going on?
Yeah, you know what? I think what we're going to do first is we kind of always conceived of this as one story. And so I think we're going to go and do the graphic novel, take the 4 issues, kind of smooth them out, do a little retroactive art to kind of some of the things we started off in the beginning could use a little attention to kind of get it up to the quality that we were doing at the end. You know, mm-hmm. with any kind of, you're working with a new project, new group of people, it takes a while to everybody get on the same page. So I think there's some stuff in the beginning that's kind of rough, even from a storytelling point, that we're going to kind of smooth over. And I think once we do the graphic novel, I think we're going to tweak and change some other things too. But I think that'll be the nice complete story. And then after that, I think we'll do some other things with these characters. And we're also planning on doing some books that are unrelated to wrestling in the next year as well. Kind of more one short story collection, kind of strange stories. So we've got a few things kind of in the hopper right now.
Okay. All right. How would you guys describe the creative process when you started the book or when you start a new issue? Or even, Milo, as you said, if you're going to start a new project that is totally wrestling, not related to wrestling, I should say, how do you guys map things out? Like, how's the process work for you?
Well, you know, I think that, you know, Chris kind of alluded to a lot of it. I mean, for us, a big part of the process was building that team to start
with.
I mean, I think, you know, when I look at, if I could draw, I would be the happiest guy in the world because I could just go off and do my own projects. But when you're working from a writing perspective, teaming up with an artist that you can get to engage, because the art is a lot of work. I mean, it takes me, you know, maybe 5 minutes to write a scene, but for somebody to really visualize that and put it on paper, that's a lot of work, you know? And I think what I've found is the people who have done that before and are experienced know how much they have to invest as an artist into a project. So it's hard to find people that are willing to really go all in, and you can pay them, you know, they can take the money and just use it as a paycheck, but you don't really get the best work sometimes if they're not really all in it. So I think a big part of the creative process is finding an artist that is right for the project that you want to do, that you can kind of get on the same page with and that you can have a good working relationship with. Because without everybody kind of firing, you know, getting on the same page, it doesn't really go anywhere. It's just a dead end.
You got to keep in mind too, when we started this, it was 2019. Mm-hmm. COVID wasn't a reality at that point. So we launched issue 1, we did Kickstarter, we crushed our goal. We were, you know, cheesing ear to ear, and then everything halted. Everything stopped. And it was like, all right, well, what do we do now? So it all was kind of an adjustment, and we had to work on the fly with issue 2. And then we had to work on the fly with issue 3. Then Jimmy graduated and Ilias graduated. They both moved away. Jimmy went back home to Pittsburgh. Ilias, he lives like probably somewhere closer to you than us. But he's about 2.5 hours away. So now we're long distance. We're shipping art back and forth. We're shipping art to Ilias to ink it because these guys don't do anything digital. It's all paper.
Oh, wow. Okay. So they do it old school.
Yep. And that was the feel. So when we started working with them, I love that we actually have the original art. We have all the pages. We have all the original covers. We have all this work that we put into each book, you know what I mean? And that was cool. And that was the big thing with the heel was I wanted it to feel like a 90s throwback, you know, like The Crow, black and white, you know, the Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles, originally black and white, you know. All that stuff that I grew up on was all black and white indie stuff that if you found it, you were thrilled, you know what I mean? You couldn't really find it, you know, if you went in, it was Spider-Man. Or Batman or Superman's death. Yeah. It was all that stuff. It wasn't a lot of the indie stuff. And that was the feel that we wanted with the heel. And that's why it's black and white and kind of done old school. You know, they pass the pages back and forth and, you know, one inks after it's finalized and then hands it to me or whoever scans it in. So it was a cool process. It was, It was rough, though. Nothing like I thought it would be in the beginning. But, you know, that was a huge curveball. And all the stuff that we had lined up after issue one, all canceled. Every single event, every single convention, everything, any kind of promotional stuff, just done. So, I mean, it's been an adjustment. And, you know, we do more shows each year as we get, you know, out of that. So it's gotten way better compared to, you know, 2020, 2021, you know, years. Yes. The only reason that we did so well with like issue two is the first appearance of Moggs, which is the girl. And she plays a big, you know, part in the storyline overall. So somehow it went on Reddit. And Reddit kind of blew up that this is going to be a key issue, and then we sold out.
Oh, wow. Okay.
Which is super weird, because I'm trying to keep the comic books locally around us stocked, and they're selling out of it, and we're selling out of it online. I'm like, I don't know why this issue did so much better. People must love this, you know? Then I find out, like, oh, on Reddit, there was a rumor that this issue is going to be a key issue. Pick this issue up.
No.
Which, I mean, that's cool. You know, it helped when we didn't have any shows going on.
Yeah, absolutely. That's some great press.
Yeah, it is. It was weird. And both the inker and the artist are like, oh yeah, Reddit. I totally, for sure. I'm like, what is Reddit? What does Reddit do?
I'm going to interrupt this conversation for just one moment to talk to you about World's Greatest Comics. They are your one-stop shop for all of your comic book-related needs. They've got single issues, graphic novels, collections, toys, collectibles, hundreds upon hundreds of back issues, some vintage issues behind the counter. They got you covered for whatever you need for your comic book fandom. So you can check out the store if you're in the Central Ohio area. They're located in 5974 Westerville Road in Westerville, Ohio. And you can also check them out online. Their website is wgcomics.com, and you can find them on Facebook. Just look for @WGComics.
All right, well, before we start talking a little bit about where folks can get the book and whatnot, let's talk about your fandom, because obviously you two love comics. So who are some of your favorite comics? Who are some of maybe your favorite characters, heroes, villains, whatnot? Milo, you want to bust off yours first?
No, I mean, I think the cool thing about fandom is that whatever, you know, you were reading when you were a kind of a kid and first getting into things, no matter what was going on in comics at that time, that's the stuff you kind of grew up and loved. And so I'm big, like, 70s kind of Marvel, Steve Gerber, Man-Thing. The Fool Killer was one of my favorite, like, kind of secondary characters that showed up in that book and kind of appeared here and there. You know, I'm just reading right now The Question Omnibus that kind of reprints a lot of the Denny O'Neill Question stuff from the, you know, mid-80s or so, which is really good. I love that stuff. And I do like a lot of the kind of more of the Outlaw Underground stuff, like we were talking about before, like The Crow, of course, and all that stuff. But I kind of like a little bit of everything. I don't like to get too pigeonholed into just one. You know, I mean, man, comics are it's so cool when you think about how many different genres, you know, comics cover, you know, and how the different types of stories that can be told. And so I've been trying to really kind of just read more manga, you know, something that in the past I've kind of not really gotten into, but, you know, like the Ito, the horror stuff I'm really getting into right now. So a little bit of everything.
And that's our inker, his influence. Cause he started, you know, do you guys read manga? Do you guys check out manga? I'm like, I don't know. I have no idea what you're talking about. and then Milo's like, hey man, I've been reading it. It's actually really good. I'm like, I believe it. We just didn't know what, you know, was good and what was bad. Yeah. He's got a way different, you know, selection than what we're into. But I was 90s, you know, Norm Briefel, okay. Batman's bat being, you know, back being broken, Superman's death, the Image boom. Before that, I mean, it was like McFarlane with Spider-Man. Batman was always mine when I was a little kid and up. Those were my big ones. And then Sam Keith and like a lot of the guys from the Image boom, you know, I had already been following. So when that happened, it was like, all right, well, I got to buy all these titles and I got to check out all these, you know, Liefeld and all these dudes and what they're doing.
You look like kind of a Marvel guy from what I can see on the screen here. I see Deadpool behind you. You know, field cover over on the right there. So what's your story?
My story is I like to follow creators. I love Garth Ennis. Like Garth Ennis,
yeah.
His stuff hits me like it just in that sweet spot. It's got the pervertedness, but it's also got this sense of justice to it, but also like this, you know, especially when you look at some of his war books that he does, you know, those have a certain realness to it. So I love Ennis. I mean, Warren Ellis, Transmetropolitan, is a favorite of mine. My mind was blown reading it. Ed Brubaker's a great creator I like to follow too. Yeah, I do have the Deadpool because I've always been a fan of Deadpool. Even before it was cool to be a fan of Deadpool, I liked him. I remember when he came out like in 94 with his own book. And I do have the Agent of S.H.I.E.L.D. back there too, which is actually autographed by Jim Steranko. I got to meet him.
Nice. Cool.
Yeah, I got to meet him at the Pittsburgh Comic Con years and years and years ago. And he's fantastic. Like he's got, I say this and people kind of giggle, but he's like, he's got his own aura. Like when you go to talk to him, he starts talking to you, but then he doesn't want to talk about himself. He starts, you know, getting you to talk about yourself. And before you know it, you're like, wait a minute. What the hell just happened? I signed the poster, but like I didn't get to talk to him about any of the questions I had. That's just the way it was, and it was so cool.
That's awesome.
That's funny. Yeah, so
well, I was gonna say I love Ennis too. I mean, I love Preacher. I was curious if you'd read the Peacemaker thing that he had done recently.
It's in my collection.
Yeah,
it's in my stack of to read. I have it. It's in there. I have a massive read pool. I mean, I don't know how it got away from me, but it just does. You know what I mean?
Yep.
You know, and so I'm playing catch up as I speak. In fact, when you were talking about the 70s, I just read the Marvel put out a collection of Gamora, like her stuff with Adam Warlock and that.
Yeah,
and,
yeah.
I actually got it as a gift. My cousin, he gave it to me, and I was like, I don't know about this, but I read it over the holidays, and I was absolutely like blown away by how good it was out there. It was weird, but yet it made sense to me, and I liked it a lot. And I, you know, I kind of, you know, poo-pooed it, but it actually was really, it was really good. I really
enjoyed
it.
Isn't that awesome when like people outside of fandom decide to try to get you a gift because they know you like comics? And you're like, this is never going to work. You're going to just get me complete garbage. But they get you that thing you never would have looked at otherwise, and you turn out, this is really good.
Yeah.
You know, yeah. It's neat to have that happen.
It is, absolutely. All right, let's talk a little bit about where folks can find the book and that before we're going to dabble a little bit into the world of pro wrestling, but let's get that important information out there to folks. Where can they find the comic? Where they can pick it up, et cetera, et cetera.
So in our area, we're in Carroll and John's. We are in Comics or Go. We are in Keys Comics. So Keys is in Elyria. Comics or Go is in Sheffield. And Carroll and John's is considered Cleveland, Fairview area. We're in some different states too, but it's just easier to order it through the website. So we're on Big Cartel. Website is theheelcomicbook.bigcartel. Everything's up on there, issue 1 through 4. We got some promotional stuff that we still have, and then original art is also on there too, which is really cool because it's all issue 3 and 4 art, so it's just some really good stuff. And we ship weekly, so everything is available on our Big Cartel, which is theheelcomicbook.bigcartel. That's okay. Where you can find everything.
Well, let's talk a little bit about wrestling. Chris, you're a wrestling fan, obviously. Milo, you said you are not so much a wrestling fan.
Not so much. No, I missed the boat on that.
Okay. There's nothing wrong with that, you know? you're still producing some great wrestling comics, so there you go.
That's awesome.
But Chris, let's talk to you. Talk about your fandom. When did you first become a fan of pro wrestling?
So I've been watching wrestling since I was like 4. My dad was laid off. here and there. He worked at the steel mill, so they had peak times, and then they were doing nothing. Little did he know it, while he had wrestling on, he was reading the paper, and I was falling in love with wrestling. I was like, oh, Hulk Hogan and Ultimate Warrior and Andre and all these guys. And I thought he liked it. He don't like wrestling. He just had on that. He's like, oh, man, should have put on baseball or something for him. But yeah, and then, you know, I've followed it all the way. I mean, there's been some years, you know, that I've fallen out of it, but after the Attitude Era, I kind of took a step back. You know, I had other stuff going on. And you know, I jumped right back into it, about 5 years ago. And the big thing was that AIW, which is our Cleveland independent, Absolute Intense Wrestling, started getting big stars like Razor Ramon and, you know, Million Dollar Man and Sonny and a lot of the people that I wanted to meet. So I started going to those. And from there, I just started watching pretty much everything, Ring of Honor, you know, WWE's products. And I was always a fan of WCW. So when AEW came along, I'm like, oh, I'm in, you know, it just brought me right back into it. I've always followed it. I've always collected, you know, even when I wasn't watching it, I've collected, and I collect autographs and that kind of stuff too. And when WWE came out with their comic book, I just didn't think it was very good. Like, you had,
it wasn't very good.
You know what I mean? But like, you have this opportunity to have, you know, Andre the Giant fight, you know, Roman Reigns, because it's a comic book. Why not write that story? You know what I mean? Put that storyline into, you know, into action and write something like that, that I've never seen before, that I'll never see because Andre's dead. Right. And it was just recycled stuff that already happened. So like, I'm getting these issues. I'm like, oh man, they had Daniel Bryan fight, you know, Dean Ambrose. Why? Like, I just watched that, you know, 2 weeks ago, and then they just put it on, you know, paper. So that's, you know, the big reason why I wanted to do, you know, a wrestling book that had a horror vibe and, you know, a lot more going on in it. I didn't think they did very well with those.
Yeah, no, they didn't. They were bad. They were bad. And the Ultimate Warriors comic book was horrific.
Yep. Yep. WCW, I don't think, were that bad in the 90s.
No, they were hokey, but that's okay. I didn't expect like a real thick plot to any of those. But yeah, the WCW ones were fun. I enjoyed them.
Everybody else just kind of missed the boat, I think. So, and I've always been a big fan of Sting. Sting, no matter where Sting has been, I've always, you know, been right there. So even Impact Wrestling, so I've always followed Sting, Muda, like the face painted guys and the guys in the mask. You know, they're superheroes. Really?
Gotcha. Absolutely. You're preaching to the choir on that one. Mm-hmm. Do you have a prized possession in your collection?
So my uncle managed Jerry Lawler.
Really?
For a big part of the 90s. So in 96, SummerSlam was here, and Jake the Snake fought Jerry Lawler. So one of their big things was, oh, Jake's an alcoholic, and Lawler just ragged on him and ragged on him and ragged on him.
I remember this.
Up to the buildup, there's this huge wine bottle that gets brought into the ring. And, you know, Lawler's in the ring, and he's egging on Jake. Oh, you want some of this? You want some of this? I have that bottle. And it's signed by Lawler. So
nice.
That was the big thing that I have. And I've been dragging that thing around with me for, you know, 20 plus years, but it's huge. It's like 3 foot, you know, and huge, big. And it was, you know, a prop used in the ring. The snake was all over it at one point, you know, because Jake brings the snake in and Lawler freaks out, leaves the bottle, runs out of the ring. So that's one of my big ones that, you know, it's a one-of-a-kind piece. And I actually wanted to get a hold of WWE and donate it to them so that they could have it in, you know, their museum or whatever they have in their little storage room that's been on TV. Mm-hmm. But I've been carrying that around for a long time. It's cool memorabilia.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. So wait, I have to ask, your uncle managed Jerry Lawler?
Yeah, so my uncle's in Man on the Moon with Jerry Lawler.
Okay.
The movie before my uncle passed away. So in the scene where Jim Carrey's banging on Lawler's dressing room,
yeah,
my uncle comes out and tells him to get out of here. Get the hell out of here. Okay. Because Lawler sent him out. He says, I'm not dealing with Jim. You go deal with him. I'm not dealing with him. He's crazy. because Kerry on the set, I guess, was in Kaufman, you know, mindset. Like he never changed back to Jim Kerry until it was done filming. That's that's what my uncle told me. He was a psychopath.
Okay.
Which is sweet. I mean, I love Jim Carrey. So, I mean, but yeah, my uncle worked for WWE for a while. And before that, he worked with the Anaheim Angels. He was a West Coast guy. So he managed Doink before Doink passed away. He managed Valentine for a short period. Managed Million Dollar Man at one point. Like when I was 7 or 8, Million Dollar Man called me and wished me a happy birthday. So like that always helped with, you know, me never ever leaving, you know, wrestling. It was anytime they were in Cleveland or we were in California, front row seats. Nice. You can go back and meet Yokozuna, Shawn Michaels, Diesel. You can come back and meet all these guys, which was, you know, sweet. I'd go to school all pumped up with a huge head and my three friends that like wrestling, because it wasn't cool then.
Yeah.
Like, oh, that's sweet.
Been there.
It's not like it is now where kids are like, oh, you see, you know, Monday, oh, these kids like wrestling now. It's cool.
No.
Like,
I know.
Not when I was in high school or
no,
any part of school.
All right. Well, let's start wrapping things up. Let's talk real quickly about social media. Do you guys have any appearances coming up? Because I know the con circuit's going to start spiraling up and getting people. In fact, I heard that there's a couple that are already asking people to go ahead and sign up and whatnot in the area. So a website, social media appearances, all that's good stuff.
So, yeah. So we have the Big Cartel site. We're on Facebook. You just type in the Heel Screw Job. We're on Twitter the same way. We're on Instagram the same way. So the Heel Screw Job and a Google search will pull up all that. Appearances will be at NeoCon, which is in North Olmsted. That's July, I want to say like 25th-ish. We'll be at this year's Haunted Garage Sale. That should be in Avon Lake. We do that show every year, and it's a cool mashup of horror and, you know, retro stuff. That one's always been a big one for us. Those are what we have so far lined up. We'll probably do some wrestling shows this year. AIW, I've been talking with John. John said, yeah, for sure. On a couple, we just got to get our timing right. And they have some stuff going where they were at the Odeon. I don't think they're at the Odeon anymore because the Odeon got sold. So once they figure their stuff out, we'll be at a couple of their shows. MCW is a mega championship wrestling. We've been in talks with them as well. They're a little bit closer to us, and they sell tickets out of Keys in Elyria, Keys Comics in Elyria. So we have some stuff lined up right now. There'll be more though. We gotta figure it out. We may even go into Jimmy's part of town with PA at some point this year.
Cool. Mm-hmm. All right. Well, guys, thank you very much for sitting down and chatting with me this evening. I appreciate it so much.
Yeah. Thanks. I appreciate it. Thanks, Sean.
You're quite welcome. And with that, ladies and gentlemen, I'm going to throw it to a quick break. And on the other side of the break, I'll be back to wrap up the episode. Well, there you have it, ladies and gentlemen. My conversation with Chris and Milo, two of the creators behind the Heel Screw Job comic book. And I want to thank both those guys for taking some time out of their busy schedule. You know, a few weeks ago, actually, we recorded it back in January. But nonetheless, I appreciate those guys, again, sitting down and chatting with me. And definitely check out the Heel Screw Job. If you're a fan of wrestling, you definitely owe it to yourself to do that. It's time for me now to let you know how to get in touch with me if you feel the need to do so. You can find me on Twitter. My personal Twitter handle is @PVDMVP. You can drop me a line over on the Facebook and Instagram feeds. Just look for @PVDcast. And you can even email me. That email address is johnorlando@PVDcast.com. And don't forget, you can hear every single episode by going over to PVDcast.com, which is the online home of yours truly. Or it's available through all of those major podcasting outlets like Spotify, iHeartRadio app, Stitcher Radio, Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, etc., etc. Just go to your favorite app, go to the search bar,
put in PVD cast. Sometimes you have to put my name after it, and you should find it. There's even a couple more ways you can catch the PVD cast. I am now being broadcast on CROC Radio, Croc Radio, out of British Columbia. So if you are an internet radio junkie, tune in to CROC Radio, and you can hear the PVD cast as well as all the great programming that they have on that station. And last but not least, every Wednesday night at 8 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, I do a little Facebook Live broadcast where you can catch the current episode of the PVD cast. But I do need a favor from you. If you listen to an episode, you have to rate and review in your podcast app. Rating and reviewing helps me out in the algorithm. It moves me up the charts, and it's incredibly important to, well, myself and your podcast outlet. And you can also obviously subscribe so you never miss an episode of the PVD cast. But I'd also like to note that if you listen on Wednesday nights to the live Facebook broadcast, I also need you to like the videos because, again, much like rating and reviewing and subscribing is helpful to me, so is the rating, the thumbs up that you give those videos or any comments you'd like to make as well. And again, it all matters to me because, again, I'm an independent podcaster. I don't have a multi-million dollar entertainment company supporting me, so it really helps me out. And I would greatly appreciate it. All right, with that being said, ladies and gentlemen, I'm going to get on out of here. I want to thank you one more time for checking out the episode. And I will chat at each and every one of you later. Stay righteous, stay independent, and stay safe and healthy. Following has been a presentation of John Orlando Enterprises, LLC, copyright 2023.